Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The former President Donald Trump charged in Fulton County in a Georgia court with a variety of charges. It's a long list. It's quite confusing sometimes where the charges are directed against the former president or his lieutenants and aides and assistants during the challenge of the Georgia final count in the 2020 election. I welcome my colleague and friend and co-host, Thaddeus McCotter of American Greatness, and we welcome Andrew McCarthy of the National Review Online, a veteran of the Justice Department, who does us all the favor in 3 separate pieces I recommend to look at the charges in Fulton County and come to this conclusion. The judge will be doing the prosecutor a favor to strip down the charges to a focused few rather than what looks to be a blunderbuss of charges against the former president and his aides. Andy, a very good evening to you. The judge will do them a favor. The allegation that I read got most attention when first we saw these charges was the RICO charge, because of course it's famous for using against organized crime. You find the RICO charge to be weak, and perhaps that'll be one of the charges the judge cuts from or separates from the charge. What is weak about the RICO case, given that it's a Georgia RICO, not a federal RICO? Good evening to you, Andy.
Well, good evening, John and Thaddeus. It is a Georgia RICO, but the Georgia RICO is very close to the federal RICO, which is its model. And the thing about RICO, well, let's talk about first, why does she want it in the case? She wants it in her case because she's groping for a charge that can tie these 19 people who were involved in disparate activities, many of whom may not even have known other people were doing other things to try to get Trump retained in office. And what she's tried to do here is kind of indict the House January 6th committee fantasy version of, you know, Trump, sinister criminal mastermind playing 5-dimensional chess, thinking out all these schemes and running them at the same time, when actually the reality of it was you had people who were loosely in agreement on the idea of retaining Trump in power, who had a lot of half-baked schemes to try to go about that, which were not necessarily related to each other. A lot of the people, I think, didn't have the same idea in mind about exactly what they were doing. And most importantly, in terms of RICO, whether it's a state RICO or federal RICO, the thing about RICO that is unique is that instead of targeting the crimes that are committed by an organization, RICO targets the organization, and it is an ineliminable aspect of RICO that you have to prove the organization, that everybody had an interest in the organization's sustained existence, because that's the way it generates money and power. And these people, to the extent they were loosely connected at all into anything that might be called an entity, which I doubt, whatever happened here, John, was going to end on January 20th, 2021, with Inauguration Day. One way or the other, either Trump was going to remain in power or he was going to be gone. But this organization was not going to exist anymore if it ever did exist as such.
Thaddeus, you have a question for Andrew.
Yes. So what is the role of the judge in stripping out charges, looking at it? Can you go into that a little bit?
Yeah. So it's not easy to get charges thrown out of an indictment, but it's certainly not impossible. And what the judge has to do, first and foremost, Thaddeus, is look at each charge and ask, construing everything in favor of the indictment, you know, assume that they can prove everything that they say they can prove. Does the count as it's written state a charge? And if on the four corners of it, it doesn't meet what the statutory requirements are of whatever crime you're charging, that can be thrown out. I don't think on the face of this that this thing amounts to a RICO, and I think it could be thrown out. It's always possible that the judge can say, well, I'm not going to throw it out pretrial, and you know, they'll try the case, and you could get motions to dismiss it at the end. But I think the case would be much better, actually, even for the prosecutors, if the DA was forced to indict it as, I would say, three or four separate cases. The other thing important with respect to your question in that vein is the other thing judges look at is whether there's a constitutional objection, even if the charge states a crime. And here what I'm thinking of is all her solicitation charges. In federal law, so the bright line in solicitation is violence, because once you incite people to violence in an actionable way, there's no First Amendment protection for violence. In Georgia, their statute is solicitation of the commission of a felony, which is very different, doesn't have to be a violent felony. And when you have something that's that broad, it has the threat of sweeping into its ambit a lot of things that are constitutionally protected activity. And I believe what Fannie Willis has done in her indictment by using the solicitation charge is to criminalize many things that the Constitution protects, such as the ability of every American to petition the legislature. She claims that in asking the legislature to decertify the electoral votes of the state of Georgia, they were asking the legislature to do something illegal, and therefore they were violating the Georgia solicitation statute. If that's the law, then I would say every Democrat in America who asked Joe Biden to forgive student debt is equally vulnerable to being charged in Georgia for solicitation. I just think it's a ridiculous charge.
The Raffensperger phone call, you identify that, count 28. And I'm keen on this one because there is ambiguity in the phone call. At the same time, this is a Georgia court with a Georgia jury, and the phone call is suggestive of something unethical or out of bounds or extremely unattractive in a democracy. And so, Andy, this enters into the matter of there's the law, there's pounding the table, pounding the law, something like that, and also making an appeal to a jury. This one, because it has it connected to Brad Raffensperger, the state official, suggested there was a suggestion of bullying in the phone call. Is that significant to the judge or the jury?
Well, John, you said two important things in that question that I really want to dwell on for a second. One is ambiguity, and the other is state court and state jury. Let me take the second one first. There's two defendants who are named in the Raffensperger counts, Donald Trump and Mark Meadows. They were both high federal officials at the time that this conversation took place. And whether the left likes it or not, they were actually performing as federal officials. They're allowed, for example, you may not like it, but they're allowed to look into allegations of fraud in terms of something that might have had a consequence for a federal election. And the reason I say that is because if they were federal officials performing in the course of their duties, which is very broadly understood, their case is going to be removed to federal court. That case is not going to be tried in Fulton County, Georgia. It's going to be charged or tried in the federal court for the Northern District of Georgia, which draws its jury panel from a much broader swath of the state of Georgia, which would be better actually for Trump than being tried in Fulton County. So it's not at all clear to me that this case is going to be tried, at least with respect to those defendants, in Fulton County state court. And the other thing you said is ambiguity, and that is an extremely important matter when you're talking about the criminal law. You know, it's one thing with impeachment, John, which is a political process, and, you know, it has kind of looseness in the joints in terms of the procedures and how you have to state impeachable acts and so forth. In the criminal law, it's very different. It's very exacting. And every bounce of the ball Every close call is supposed to go to the accused because the accused is presumed innocent. So unless the government clearly proves guilt, the defendant is supposed to be acquitted. And it doesn't matter if you think the defendant is a good guy or a bad guy. That's just what the rules are in the system. I've listened to that Raffensperger phone call a number of times, and I just don't think their interpretation of it, the prosecution's and the Democrats at large, is going to hold up, because it seems to me Trump wasn't asking Raffensperger to manufacture nearly 12,000 votes. What he was saying, with, by the way, about six lawyers on this, you know, on this call, if you're going to extort someone, you want to make sure you bring along six witnesses, right? But what he was saying is that his lawyers had found tens of thousands of irregular votes in their formulas and their algorithms and their extrapolations, and that he believed they were right, and therefore he wasn't asking Raffensperger to agree to the whole breadth of what his lawyers had found. He was basically saying, I only need 12,000. I've got about 200,000, but I only need 12,000. So I really think they're going to have a very hard time with that count. And I also think it's constitutionally objectionable because, again, people have a right to petition the government, including, you know, bringing complaints to the Secretary of State about elections. And the context of this was, you know, it was a settlement negotiation between two sides that were in court against each other. So I just don't see this count at all.
Thaddeus, you have a question.
Yes, Andy, but isn't that part of the reason the RICO charge was brought? The conflation between something that people think is wrong with something that is actually unlawful. Many people believe that Mr. Trump's actions were improper, but they're trying to conflate that with it necessarily being illegal.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. That's the function of the RICO. And I think the alternative, Thaddeus, would have been if there were a crime in the state of Georgia called, dishonestly trying to reverse the result of an election, she would have charged conspiracy to do that. And that would have been her overarching framework count. The problem she has is that there is no such crime. And as, you know, not President Al Gore and not Governor Stacey Abrams could tell you, it's not a crime to challenge the result of an election, even incorrectly and in some ways dishonestly. So the big problem for Fannie Willis in the big case she wants to make is that a conspiracy, very simply, is an agreement by two or more people to commit a penal offense. And she doesn't have a crime that that unites this sprawling conspiracy that she wants to bring, because there's no single criminal objective that everybody agreed to. She's trying to paper that over with the RICO. But the fact of the matter is she simply doesn't have a conspiracy. And if you don't agree, if the objective of what people have agreed to is actually lawful, and trying to retain someone as president is lawful, you can commit crimes in furtherance of a lawful objective, and she could prosecute those, but she simply doesn't have an overarching agreement that ties 19 people together.
Speaking with Andrew McCarthy of the National Review Online, a veteran of the Department of Justice and a prosecutor veteran, and Thaddeus McCotter, a veteran of the U.S. Congress of American Greatness. When we come back, Fannie Willis, with her prosecution, does have advantages. Andy identifies in his National Review pieces, three of them. I recommend all three. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? WashableSofas.com has your back. Featuring the Anabay Collection, the only designer sofa that's machine washable inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabrics. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Check out WashableSofas.com and get up to 60% off your Anabay sofa, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.